put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Yeah. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Welcome to Season 3 of BYO Blanket, a yoga podcast where we get cozy and discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute, all inside a blanket fort. Before we start, let's go over to Junon for a quick message. Junon?
Hello, please don't click fast forward 15 seconds. Oh my gosh, I'll say this super fast. We would love for you to become a patron of the show because it helps us keep doing the show. You get cool little things sent in the mail to you every month, and you'll like those things, I promise. We gear them based off of what you guys request. So far, we've given out koozies and lots of stickers, and there's
Frisbees.
Yes, and the Frisbees. There's a magnet coming your way this month, patrons, so you better hurry up and go to patreon.com/BYOblanket and become a Blanket Ninjas. In fact, both of the guests on this show today are Blanket Ninjas themselves, and they've never made better choices in their lives, so why don't you go to patreon.com/BYOblanket and become an official Blanket Ninja. Back to you, Maria. I don't know why I did that sound effects.
I loved it, and thank you. Also, guys, if you don't want to become a patron and help us monetarily, please review us on iTunes.
Just
share it on your social medias.
Share.
Yes.
The world needs to hear the guests that are on BYO Blanket.
Yes. And also, welcome to our show, everybody.
Yay! We haven't recorded for about like 3.5 weeks. It's been a busy season of our lives with both me and Maria, so we're back to be sitting in a blanket fort. I have to admit something. We're not in a blanket fort today.
No, busy day.
No, busy day, and I'm already sweating profusely from my workout, so I was not about to torture myself for the sake of the show. Y'all, we are in a beautifully decorated office that is meant for BYO Blanket, so just imagine that we're in a blanket fort.
It's a metaphorical blanket fort.
Anyway, y'all, let's introduce the guests.
Let's introduce.
Get right into it. You probably read the title of the show and know who they are, so this little preamble is kind of strange, but we'll do it anyway. We got two guests on today. They know each other. They've known each other for a long time. Maria, bring them out on stage.
Welcoming back Jenny Noonan and Nancy Perry. Hi,
oh
guys.
Hi. We're so happy to be here.
They're zooming in. It's not really, it's a metaphorical stage and a metaphorical blanket fort. We got Jenny Noonan and Nancy Perry. Y'all, introduce yourselves real quick, and I'll let you fight who goes first.
Nancy, you can go first.
Oh, God, such okay. Yogis.
I was going to say the same thing. So, hi, everyone. My name is Nancy Perry. I live here in Houston, Texas. It is very, very hot right now. It has nothing to do with me. It just has to do with my experience. So there's that. I am a mom to two kiddos, Bowen and Emmy. I'm a wife to Justin Perry. I am a friend to Jenny Noonan, also to Janon and Maria. And I, for a living, I own a community of yoga studios called Big Power Yoga. We've got two here in Houston. We've got one in Denver, Colorado, and then I am the co-owner of a studio called Out Here Yoga in Steamboat, Colorado, and an amazing adventures company called Live Alive Adventures, and I do all sorts of other fun stuff, but that's who I am.
Love it.
It takes
you sound busy.
That's her part-time job, everybody. You don't even want to know what she does full-time.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jenny Noonan, and I am a mom of two boys, Lincoln and Finn, and a wife to my husband, Brandon, and a friend to Nancy Perry, and Janon, and Maria, and a lot of people, a lot of friends. So I'm also a yoga teacher.
She has a lot of friends, people. A lot of friends.
That's all she does. So
let that sink in.
That's all she does.
So popular. Let's see. I'm a yoga teacher, and right now I am schooling my six-year-old Lincoln, and in first grade and in life, you know, the normal things. And I have a business with doTERRA. So I educate people about essential oils and help people figure out how to use them to feel the best that they can.
Oil slinger.
I see your oil. I can see Jenny's diffuser on. So we're on Zoom right now. I can see the mist just floating across.
Oh, is that what it is? I was wondering why, guys. I was wondering where my anxiety had gone. Oh my gosh!
It's the clouds that you see floating across Jenny's screen. They're very relaxing.
Yeah. Aromatherapy and visual therapy is real, y'all. It's real. Yeah.
It's a thing.
Wait, what's your blend? What are you diffusing, Jenny? What's your blend?
I'm using a blend. One of them is called Harvest Spice, and it's like cinnamon and cassia and nutmeg and stuff. And then I put an oil in it called Black Spruce, and it's just very cozy. I'm like ready for it to be fall. I'm just like over the heat. I'm over it. I was over it in like April though. So.
Oh no, I like the summer.
I'm really over it.
If you want your house to smell like a beach, what do you oils do you put in the air?
What does the beach smell like to you?
I don't know.
Does it smell like sunscreen? Does it smell like
coconut and sea salt. Oh. Does the salt smell?
Is there a salt?
Salt oil? Water.
Salt, yeah.
Does it smell?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. There's a blend called Island Mint that I really like. That smells good.
Maybe
you could just put salt in the water and then diffuse it.
Mm-hmm. That would be interesting. Mm. Maybe for your diffuser.
Mm.
Okay, I'm drifting off thinking about the smell of salt.
Yes, thank you. Both of you sound really busy. We know you guys are really busy. So thank you for being here. We're really excited to have you back.
Yeah, I appreciate
you. We're so excited to be here together. We have a lot to say.
Well,
yeah, we don't know. We don't know about what,
but we have a lot to say about it.
You're just ready to say it.
Our fans of the show have submitted quite a good number of questions for you guys. I'm really excited to hear y'all's answers. So you want to just dive right in?
I'm ready.
Okay. Are you ready now, Nancy?
I'm ready now. Okay. And I'm coming from I'm ready now.
Yes.
Wonderful. Catherine, who was a guest just last episode from all the way from Kenya. Nancy, you were at her level two. That is how she knows you.
Catherine and I were in a small group together. Yeah. At level two.
Aw.
And she doesn't know you personally, Jenny, but she knows of your Instagram stylings.
Cool. Great.
So her question to you guys is, how do you successfully manage yoga studios, kids, and taking care of oneself? And I know you don't manage a yoga studio, Jenny, but you manage being a yoga teacher and your own business outside of that. So.
And Jenny did manage the studios while she had kids. So she is a qualified person to answer that question.
That was before
amongst
our
other
time.
Questions.
That was way before our time, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jenny was the original. Jenny was the first ever Big Power Yoga manager.
Wow.
I can OG. See
that. Well, Jenny, do you want to answer that question first?
Sure, I can answer it. What was it again?
How do you successfully manage yoga studios, kids, and taking care of oneself?
So a while ago, I had this really interesting conversation with one of our teachers, Maggie Monahan, who's amazing. Shout out to Maggie.
Shout out, Maggie.
Maggie.
She asked me one time, she's like, do you believe that you can have it all? And I was just like really astonished by that question because I also had felt like I was chasing after having it all. And so my response to this question is, you just have to decide what's important to you and do those things. So if you prioritize your business and your children and your self-care, then those things will easily get done. Like it won't ever be a question of like, how do I do them? It's just like, these are my priorities. When I encounter people in my life whose priorities are different than mine, I'm always just like really astounded at, you know, that they've made certain things priorities over others. And not astounded like in a judgmental way, just like, oh wow, that's how they do that, or that's how they can get that done, or that's how they can live their life that way. So whatever it is that you want to be a priority for you will happen. And I think what accidentally happens for everybody, not just moms or entrepreneurs or anybody specifically, but I just think as a default, what happens is we forget to name our priorities. And so we instead of having the priorities that we want be priorities, then we end up having these like default priorities that were just that are unfulfilling. So it could be too much time on social media. It could be too much time on Netflix. It could be too much time like chasing after people's opinions. I mean, it could be like anything, you know, if you're not really clear on what your priorities are. But I guess to answer the question in a more logical sense, like I ask for a lot of help. I don't do anything on my own. Like I don't live, there's no way that I can live my life and do the things that I want to do by myself. I have to have my husband. I have to have, you know, it's different now given that we're in such a weird time, but like I need support. I need my mom. I need my mother-in-law. I need like extra people to help me raise my children. And I have to ask for the things that I need and want. Like sometimes I'm just like, I'll tell my husband, I'm like, I'm going to go take a bath alone. Like emphasis on the alone. And not because he's like, can I get in with you? But because like chances are one of my children will climb in the bathtub with me.
Ew.
Kids. I don't.
Kids.
But like, you know, it's like, so I just have to like request, I just have to request the things that I want and need and make sure that like the things that I want and need, you know, are a priority in my family and not like that only what I want and need is a priority, because that's not true. But it's like, I need time by myself, or I need to go lay down and rest now, or I need to work for 30 minutes or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that I can continue to do everything that it is that I do, which includes running and managing my home.
Yeah.
I think that's all I want to say.
Snaps. You get snaps for that. Yep.
All the snaps.
When I said you kids, I just want you both to know, I don't mean your kids or anyone's listening, their kids, just the idea of kids.
Got it.
Janon, I totally get it. Jenny knows, I was never a kid person before I had kids.
Like, I'll play with them when they're around, but if they're trying to climb in my bath, get out.
I mean, I would not just any child climbing in the bath with me. Like, just to be really clear, in case anybody's like, that's weird. I mean, it's like, and even Lincoln's not up to that anymore. It's just Finn.
Yeah. You know, I was going to ask when you first, what does having it all even mean? I don't know what that means.
I feel like that's something that's been put onto women, actually. I don't think anybody ever asks a man that question. I don't feel like a man, as anybody's ever asking my husband, like, how are you going to have it all? Like, nobody cares. Mm. But for women, it's like, it's almost like a threat, right? Like, it's almost like a way that, like, threaten women through language.
Yeah.
Well, like, how are you going to have it all? And it's like to even comprehend that a woman could, and some of this is dying away. I know that some of this is like dying away out of conversation, but it's like that a woman could like want a family and want a career and want, you know, to plant her garden or whatever that a woman would, you know, it's like that a woman can have like this multifaceted life that doesn't just only revolve around one thing.
Yeah. Cool. Catherine, I bet you're celebrating for that answer, because that was a good answer. Name your priorities.
Yeah.
Don't let your kids come in your happy times sometimes. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, I think Jenny pointed to something very important. As the first thing I was going to say, on top of because all the things Jenny said, 100% yes, and then you said it, Jenny, is like, I am also just so privileged. Like, I'm so privileged. It's my, one of the things is my privilege that allows me to be, you know, quote unquote, do it all or have all those different roles in my life. I do everything with the help of other people. Everything. Like, I am so blessed that we have the means and the resources to be able to have someone help take care of our kids, and that right now my husband takes care of our kids. But like, without that, there's just no way. So having help is an essential part for all of us, and that's an important thing that we forget to mention first and foremost, is that we I mean, that's what we say at Big. We say we're more powerful together because that is how we accomplish more, is through allowing ourselves to be supported and support. So that help is the biggest thing. And though, like, right alongside that, with the help and the priorities, I feel that one of the things that is the biggest support for me is allowing everything to be imperfect. Like, if you want to feel successful in being a parent, or you want to feel successful in being a business owner, or you want to feel successful in taking care of yourself, in my experience, I have to let go of what I think it should look like every day, so that I can just be present with exactly what is happening and allow things to be 100% for the moment rather than 100% always. And also not finding my identity in any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? It's like, I'm not a business owner, or not define my self-worth out of that going really well, or not define my self-worth out of being the perfect parent, or making sure I get on my mat every day as a yoga teacher. If I can release all of that, that's when I can really have access to being able to be who I want to be in those distinct areas. So I think remaining fluid and dynamic and being compassionate with ourselves is a very, very, and others. Because a lot for me around managing studios and managing my family and managing myself has to do with being compassionate towards others and allowing other people to be in their experience and not trying to fix it, so that I can be responsible for my own experience and the things that I want, the ways that I want to show up.
Got to maintain that inner peace.
That's right.
Woo! Snaps. All the
Thank
snaps.
Thank y'all. Such in-depth answers. Y'all ready for your next Blanket question. Ninjas question?
Number two.
Ready.
Is brought to you by Keela. Keela is it? Yeah, I know. I love Keela. She's in our Harry Potter book club, and she always has like the little tag at the top of her Zoom screen, and it says Teacher Keela. So I always want to call her Teacher Keela.
Teacher Keela, we got you covered with this question.
Yeah, thank you. Her question to both of you is, what have you learned from your yoga that applies... that applies direction to motherhood and family life.
And let me let y'all know, Keela has 4 young kids.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're very cute.
Well, she should tell us the answer to this question.
She comes to Big at home every day. She's there
every single day. She's such a strong and powerful practice. Okay, let me look and see. And Jenny, if you have your answer first.
Can you read the question again?
Yes, I shall read it again. What have you learned from your yoga that applies direction to motherhood and family life?
Short answer, everything.
I mean, that is my answer. I'm like, what? A better question would be like, what?
What hasn't?
What have I learned?
I'll say two things straight away. I mean, since my kiddos are still so little, my kids are 2 years old and 10 months old. So for me, it's that pause, having that ability just to pause and notice when I'm going to react and not doing that. And especially when my kids feel upset, the ways that I could see that I would really like to react are to get frustrated with someone else or blame myself, right? Like make the whole situation wrong. And instead, when my kids are upset or my husband is upset or I feel like upset, is that I can just pause and have some compassion and focus on who I want to be rather than making the situation change.
Mm.
So that what that gives me access to with my family is just loving them no matter what, like really being in the experience of love. Like when I can be with my kids and be like, oh, they're just having a hard time, and just love them, that changes everything. So that capacity to be present and to pause and make a new choice is what I will say right here is the biggest thing for me and my family.
Yes.
I love that. The thing that sort of first popped into my mind, and it's sort of like what you're saying, Nance, is like what I've learned out of my yoga practice is like the power of being present,
mm-hmm.
and just like being in any moment, and that there is sometimes discomfort in being present. There's like a level of discomfort, right? Mm-hmm. Like it can be, if you're in your yoga practice, it could be like, oh, this is a really hard pose, or like, I'm really uncomfortable with my thoughts, or like my thoughts are really like, you know, messing with me right now, or whatever it is. And I feel like that can be an experience that you have as a parent also, that, you know, in the intensity of sometimes what it means to be a parent, what it means to be either, you know, like whether it's handling a tough situation or handling a toddler or even a baby that's challenging, or even handling what sometimes is like the intensity of love and what feels like, you know, like you have these intense feelings of love that you're like, what's going to happen because I have these, you know, it's like, is something going to go wrong because, you know, I'm experiencing this love. Is like to just be with whatever is right in front of me, and to take a breath and to pause and to connect and to remember that I have the tools to be a parent. Like I have the tools to raise children. Mm-hmm. And I have the tools to be patient with my children. And it's not like 100% of the time, right? Like I'm also a human being and I like get frustrated and I like have a short fuse some days and, or I need to eat or whatever. And, so, you know, there's all of that, but then there's like the immediate forgiveness that I've learned in my yoga practice that I can practice with my kids. There was something else that I thought of, but I don't remember what it was.
Snaps.
Also stamps. Oh. We can do stamps.
That was my very strange way of asking, like, if you're complete.
Yeah.
I think so. I can always bring it up later if I feel like it.
For sure.
Perfect.
Okay. Third question. Let's do it. You guys know this man, Cesar.
This dude.
Cesar is a regular practitioner at our yoga studio, coming to the long classes. And
he is not regular. He's extraordinary.
He is.
I love that. And yes, he is.
Correct. You are an extraordinarily regular yoga student, as in you come on a regular basis, and you're extraordinary.
You meant consistent.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
He's just okay.
No, I meant he's okay.
No, I'm mad. He's like medium. Okay. Cesar, you're amazing. And thank you so much for this question. So as daughters, mothers, mentors, and friends to many, as in that you're friends to many people, I don't think you're daughters of many people. Can you share your thoughts on what we can do as parents or aunts or uncles or brothers, etc., to cultivate loving kindness for all humans within our children? It's like teaching that to our children, cultivating loving kindness as a lesson for children.
Well, what I would say about this, that it's like a multifaceted thing, right? It's not just like one thing. I think, you know, anything that you want to give away or do outwardly has to start within yourself first. So as children are mostly selfish beings, being that they don't necessarily have the capacity or the cognitive development even to have empathy, right? Like 3-year-olds don't have empathy, and not because they're bad, that their brain just hasn't developed that yet. So when everyone's always telling their kids to say sorry, like kids don't know what that means. They don't have that ability. Yeah. I think it's a good practice though, but they don't mean it. So like, to teach them to have loving kindness with themselves first, to teach them what that means, to practice, you know, saying kind words to themselves, to like all of those things. And I think with that, also showing them the real side of what it is to be a human being, I think to try and demonstrate perfect parenting or being perfect is like can be a really hateful thing to do to your children. Because they learn from watching us. So being able to, like, in the moment, teach when it's appropriate, like, that you have loving kindness for yourself, right? So you cultivate these practices within the family. You teach them. You show them how you're doing it. You do your demonstration of that. And then you can take it out into the world and show them how to do that out in the world. As they begin to develop the ability to see beyond the family, right? And they see people at school or at the yoga studio or at your church or wherever you go and you are with other people, teaching them ways to have loving kindness towards people. And I think that that is really what that is like discussion. And I think it's like discussion and like from the space that you, the foundation that you already lay with them, having it for themselves, having it for like you and your, and their siblings or whatever, and then being able to take it out from there.
Dang.
Yes.
Now I want to be a parent.
Get snaps, Jenny.
She's had a change of heart so quickly.
I mean, from the bathtub.
I think I'd be a good mom dad.
Oh, you'd be a great mom dad.
You would be amazing.
Yeah, I'd throw them
both of you.
Play catch, and then she can do all the stuff you said.
Oh my god!
Are you gonna teach your kids how to write jokes?
They'll come out funny, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Well, we're adopting if we have kids, so from wherever they come out, they'll just come out funny. I'll trust that.
Hilarious. You'll just get hilarious children. That's
cool. Anyways.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jenny. That was great.
Yeah.
Nancy Pants.
Nancy, what about you?
You know, I am certainly not a parenting expert. Just started. And I'll say, here's what I'm doing. So we can report back in a few years. We can see if this works or not. I'm so grateful to have kids because it, like, there is an, for me, there's been an automatic up level in my accountability. I know I'm demonstrating something all the time. And I'm part of the, one of the bodies of work that I lead is a body of work called Light Your Leadership. And we talk about legacy. And we talk about legacies that we inherit from our parents that are useful and then ones that don't really support us and then the power of releasing those. So I'm like hyper aware. I'm like, what legacies am I passing on to my children that I'm proud of? And what are the ones that I'm working to release that I don't want to pass on? So anyways, I'm grateful for that because I feel like I'm hyper aware of that and also attempting to relax knowing that, we all pass things on that are both wonderful and then also not so wonderful. And I'm so grateful for the accountability of having kids so that I have another reason to really be mindful of what I'm putting out there and the legacy that I'm leaving behind. So I yes to what Jenny said in that for me, I am practicing being loving and kind with myself so that they can see that demonstration. You know, I feel like that is what creates a kind and loving person out in the world is someone who has the ability to be kind and compassionate and loving with themselves. And I have by no means mastered that, by no means. And through putting my attention on that, I can see like how much room I have to grow in that. So I'm really excited to continue to do that. And part of my growth in that, I've been really sharing with Emmy when we go to bed at night and I just tell her, hi, Maria. Peeking out from behind the mic. I always like to tell any like the challenges that I navigated through my day and where I want to forgive myself and where I'm going to forgive others and where I did a really good job and where I'm committed to doing better tomorrow. So, and that I'm always talking about me and then how I showed up for others too. So I believe and hope that in continuing to engage a conversation like that with her and Bowen, as he understands what I'm saying, that will be helpful and that is being in a conversation about kindness and then also receiving a demonstration of kindness are the two things that I sense could make a difference there.
Thanks, new mom.
Yas, queen.
Hey, I'd like to weigh in on this question being an older sister.
Do it.
Yeah.
So my sisters are like a decade younger than me, so I've been like a cool aunt to them. and whenever they come to me with issues or like really intense emotions or they're really mad about something or someone's done something harmful to them, no, like, I have never put words to Cesar's question before, but the legacy I'm trying to leave with my sisters, as you say, Nancy, mm-hmm. legacy, is to always be loving. And so my go-to things to say are, well, feel your feelings. Just, there's nothing wrong with raw emotions. Just have the emotions. Don't need to stuff them down. And once you're done feeling your feelings, what do you think that person's highest commitment was? And just to go into a discussion with them about taking the story out of it, letting the emotions subside, and looking for whoever they're pissed at's highest commitment, and continually practicing the reminder of that. Because that's one thing to just like jot it down once, and another thing to remember it over and over again and every day. And that's what I do as a big sister.
There's another thing that you do, I don't know if you've noticed, that I think has been huge for both of your sisters.
Oh.
Which is, you usually have them talk to me about things. And it's like, and they used to be kind of weird about it. Like, why would I talk to you about something so personal? I don't know. I think they're now getting used to the fact of like asking for help and feeling supported from somebody else, like having that support from someone else has been huge.
I just realized that because I would always say like, y'all should really hear what Marie has to say about this because she's a genius. And they'd always be like, no, that's weird. I'm shy. I don't want to. And I'm just realizing you're right because
And now they ask.
A couple of months ago, Dali was like, is Maria there?
Aww. I love that.
Yeah, it was pretty cute. So that's our go-to is having talks, not making anyone wrong.
Mm-hmm. There's one more thing I'll add. Can I add something?
Yeah, because Maria's also a bomb older sister.
I am. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, and it's kind of along the lines of what Nancy just said, which is sharing like my own experience, my day, how I dealt with certain situations, like what I recognized I could have done better, and so on. Because even Nathan gave us this feedback this weekend, is like people see themselves in the stories you're telling, even though the stories are all about you. And they can relate to them, and they can, you know, they hear something, they pick stuff up, and they're like, oh, learning from that mistake. Or, like, they just, you know, like, pin it in their mind, and they're like, oh, that's something I could use. So I think that's also important.
Snaps for all of us. I don't know if these are coming through on the audio. We'll find out later.
Post-production?
Like, so I can hear you.
Fun sound effects.
I can hear you snapping.
Okay, good.
I mean, yeah, I hear him through the headphones, but... we'll see.
Our next question comes from Rachel Dahl, who is a blanket ninja officially. She is a patron of the show.
She's a great friend.
Yay. Rachel, and one welcome of our... to the club. Wasn't it the best decision you ever made?
Rachel, you're going to get a magnet.
Yeah.
Yes, Rachel, you will get a magnet soon.
I'm so excited for my magnet, you guys.
Me too. Is it the blanket ninja that I love?
It just says BYO blanket, but if you had 3D glasses, it will become 3D.
I don't.
Well,
and I can remedy that.
You just put a piece of red glass in front of one eye and blue glass in front of the other eye.
Not that either.
Oh, you don't have pieces of red glass? What?
I thought everybody did.
I can't say blue glass. Blue can glass? You guys say that? I'm having a lot of trouble.
Blue glass.
I mean, it sounded like you just said it. So I feel like you can.
I choke.
Blue glass.
Blue glass.
Blue glass.
You really?
I really have to struggle.
Okay.
This is going to be the bonus content. Us saying blue glass over.
Yes.
Oh, over against
those people.
That's one other thing patrons get, y'all, is they get bonus content. We want to crank a lot more of that out, but so far, these two ladies are part of the bonus content. We've got a really silly time with Nancy where we ask really weird questions, where she's going to end up butt naked on a desert island with a bayonet and a solar-powered house.
Oh, yes! We listened to that episode the other day on a road trip.
Yeah.
We were laughing.
We laughed again. And then Jenny's is us just saying podcast.
Podcast. Kind of.
Oh my gosh, that was hilarious. And then did we sing?
We did sing.
My most recent episode has a lot of SpongeBob sound bites in it.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's great.
And love good. It. Okay, yes. Well, Rachel, back Rachel's to your question. Question. Sorry, Rachel. Here, let's go.
Rachel, the question for both of you is, how do you approach recommitting to goals when you have stopped working on them for a while?
Your time starts now.
10 seconds.
Just kidding.
8, 9.
Is this not making it a big deal that you stopped working on it?
Oh.
For me, that's it. It's like, oh, I stopped working on it. I'm just going to start again. For me, the more we can make stopping not a big deal or restarting, if we can just get great at restarting, stopping, like without any of the drama, then it can be really easy. So I guess the access to that is forgiving yourself and then also getting reconnected to whatever first inspired you about that goal. And like getting that up in front of you again. And if you're not inspired, also just deleting goals is really important. Be like, never mind, delete. So, also.
Clear.
Got it.
You're very animated when you said all that too. I know you can't see Rachel, but Nancy was all hands in that conversation.
I've moved my position. I was feeling constrained in the way I was sitting. So now I'm better. I can use my arms more.
You feel more expressed. You look more expressed.
Yeah.
Is your laptop on your lap?
It's going to be all arms.
Is your laptop on your lap by any chance?
My laptop is on my lap on top of a meditation cushion.
Okay. Mm. Yes. It's adding to the animation and I really like it.
Yeah.
Nancy's lap is moving, y'all, and then her hands. It's like an excitement earthquake over at the Perry's house.
Yes. Also snaps.
Snaps.
What about you, Jenny?
So what I would say is, the first thing is that when I stop working on a goal, this is what I tell myself. And this is kind of my belief about a lot of things, but I feel like there's way more flow required to achieve goals than there is like linear action. So what that means for me is that I may have like my list of goals set, and what I know about life is that, you know, not there isn't just like one thing that I get up and work on every day to do, right? Like I'm not just like, I don't know, it's not linear for me, it's like more flowy. So when like if I'm like not working on a goal, what I tell myself is that like everything that I've done in the meantime has supported me in working on that goal.
Mm.
So like, for example, if like I'm, this would not ever be something that I would do, but I'm just going to use it as an example. If, for example, I was working on like some kind of fitness goal, like a running goal, like I was trying to run every day or I was trying to do something like that. And not that I would never do that. I don't like running. But if I was working on like a fitness goal, and I was like, I have to do it every day, and I'm like working and I'm doing great and I'm loving it, and then maybe I get sidetracked, like maybe I get injured or I get sick, and that sort of like sidetracks me from doing what I was doing. But maybe I'm getting more rest, or maybe I've been able to focus on like another part of like my life a little bit more, or I've been able to like incorporate something, or I'm learning something. Like in my mind, everything supports everything that I'm working on. So I'm not ever like failing at working on goals. I'm just utilizing different sources to help me in those goals. So that's the first answer. My second answer is, if it's a goal that you aren't connected to anymore, or you wrote because it was kind of like Nancy said, if you wrote it as like a, oh, I should do this, or like my friend's doing this, so I should do,
a filler,
whatever.
Goal, we call it, a filler goal.
Yeah, it's like, if you have those, like just delete them. I mean, I was looking at my goals recently that I wrote like a couple of years ago, and I was like, I don't want to do any of this stuff. Like, I'm not doing any of this.
Mm.
So like, it's just like being able to like forgive yourself, or just recognize that like there are sometimes you just outgrow goals, or you have something come up that is probably going to sidetrack you or delay something a little bit, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. I've given up some goals in the past few years, and you know, when you love something, you let it go. I don't know if that applies here, but
maybe goals are made up though.
You know? Like, one day I could be a stand-up comedian on Netflix, and everything I'm working on now could end up getting me there. But I don't have to like hyper focus on it to force myself there before I'm ready. My whole life is research, yo. I've said yo a lot. True. What were you gonna say, Nancy?
Just that sometimes we can have a goal and the timing isn't right, yet we know it's still gonna be a goal for us at some point. And so you can just keep it there on the back burner without mm-hmm. a buy when. And then when you sense that it's time, you can bring it back to the front burner.
Yes. That is astute.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Right. Astute.
So then my other, wait, before you snap for all of
I
us.
Know I stopped my yes. snaps.
Don't snap yet. The other thing that I would suggest or recommend is to find somebody to support you with your goals, Rachel, and listeners, like to find somebody that you can talk about them with and to, you know, have somebody support you. And even like listening to goals sometimes, it's just, even if you're like, I have this goal and I want to share it with you. And then hearing yourself talk about it, like, does it make you excited? Are you like ready to go work towards it? Is it something that you want to like delay a little bit? Or are you realizing it and sharing it that you're like, maybe this isn't something that I actually want to like have as a goal?
Totes.
Okay, I'm done.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
You made a snap. Okay, she has a follow-up question, but it's really fast. So you guys, like, give me your, like, best one- or two-sentence answer for her follow-up question.
Okay.
I am, ready. As leaders in self-development and personal leadership, I'm curious, if you've reached a magical place of always staying fully committed to every one of your goals?
No.
No.
Got it.
Oh, well.
I sensed it would be a pretty short answer.
Yeah.
I read that. I was like, I can't see Nancy or Junior being like, oh, yeah, I'm the best. I've every goal I do, I'm just so clearly attained. I'm none.
That's enlightenment.
That's a goal, though. That's a goal of mine.
Oh, to be fully committed to all of your goals?
You know, I things in my life that I'm like, oh wow, I have that goal now. And in the process of getting there, I doubted myself so much. So like, what would have been possible if I was 100% in? So I'm interested in what that would open up if I were able to be 100% committed 100% of the time.
Maybe it would open up your finally ascending to God status. You'd just start levitating everywhere and
operating.
Oh my god, that'd be so fun.
Yeah, you'd have a really cool middle name, like Ananthoron. I just, wow.
What?
I don't know, I just made my mouth move and that's what came out. Nancy Ananthoron Perry!
Wait, what?
That's your goddess name.
How do you spell it?
Ananthoron? I don't know.
Okay. Just so she can write it down, so she can remember it.
You actually can't spell it in human language. It's too godly.
Part of the journey is inventing right. your own language.
Of course.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm being really silly, Nancy, and what you said is very profound. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to tell me how profound it was.
Well, soups. I wonder the same thing. I wonder the same thing, too, if, like, I don't know, like, where are the limits of what my psyche can do, you know?
Yeah.
It's a neat human experiment.
And I got Yeah, and I think it's important to remember that our goals, to be 100% committed to a goal doesn't maybe even mean that I'm attached to it, right? It's just in the pursuit of that. So, because 100% committed seems like, I don't know, there's like part of me that's like, oh, my lifetime, that's just not humanly possible, and maybe it is, or maybe it's not, and it's still something exciting.
Do you know what absurdism is?
I can guess.
Well, it's absurd. It is a philosophy of searching for the meaning of life with the full knowledge that you'll never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
That's what life is.
Yeah.
That is what life is.
Yeah, and absurdists are ridiculously happy because they get this like quest for the Holy Grail, but also knowing there's nothing to attach to as a result.
God, I have a new goal. That's what I want to be. I am that now. I've achieved my goal.
Nancy's an absurdist 100% of the time.
It just happened in 1 second.
Rachel will love this, but Nancy has gone full on hashtag paradox.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Rachel's favorite thing is when we talk about paradoxes.
Hashtag paradox.
Oh, yeah. Love a good paradox. Everything's a paradox.
Everything is a paradox, right?
Y'all, we got to get to the next question. We got some burning questions here in this little
burning question
computer notepad.
The next question is from Ashley. I don't know why I said it with an accent.
Ashley.
It happened. Her question to both of you is, have you ever felt that your personal expectations have limited your creativity? And if so, how have you dealt with them?
For sure.
How have you dealt with it?
Say more about that, Nancy.
So the question is, have your expectations ever limited your creativity? And then how have you dealt with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would say yes. You know, expectations are something I've been really curious about lately, because I feel like even if expectations are very high, they can be very limiting, mm-hmm. because they're always based on some past-based mental picture. So to have no expectations. Okay, so speaking of Cesar, so an extraordinary yoga student, yoga student at Big Power Yoga. When we were working in a Light Year program together, he was set a goal to show up at a place in a program that he wanted to participate in at a whole different level that was even outside of the pre-requirements of the program. Mm-hmm. And out of the hundreds of people we've had in that program, we've never had a single person show up having done more than they were told to do to prepare. And that's because it's a high expectation. It's like, read these things, memorize these things. And it's a good amount of work. It's a high expectation already. So in that high expectation, I can limit myself inside of a high expectation rather than thinking like, well, what else is possible that I hadn't even thought of? So expectations, I think, can be limiting, even if they're great, because they just put blinders on us a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I feel like my creativity has got to be, I mean, I guess I'm being pretty meta about this. Yeah, my creativity has to be stifled every day. You know, if I just look from right now, like every day I wake up with my expectations of how I should be as a mom, my expectations of how my day is going to go, my expectations of how other people are going to respond, and that definitely stifles my creativity. So what I'll say, the best way I've found re-inspire creativity and get reconnected to creativity, I mean, one really practical thing is just moving my body. But like getting my endorphins moving, getting my breath moving, like getting connected to that creative part of myself, which I would, you know, movement really does that. And also though, is that the energy of creativity is the energy of possibility. So we do a great thing at Big. It's from Light Year. It's called a depth and imagination session. It's like a brainstorming session, right? We're just getting every and all possibilities. Yet it's a discipline. So I think it's also remembering that creativity is actually a discipline, and it's actually a practice. So if it's something that I want to get better at, I actually have to schedule it in or make it a part of what I'm up to. It's like pause and say, okay, how can I be creative here? What are some things that I never would have thought of if I hadn't sat down and made this time to be creative? Or I can meditate about the possibilities of the future. But creativity is really a function of the future of, possibility. So anytime we're in any sort of fear, we're not going to feel very creative. So that's why I say moving and then getting present to possibility, whether it's through a depth and imagination session or reading something that really inspires me, yet scheduling in time to be creative and imaginative and to do things that aren't necessarily practical are an essential part of being creative. I don't know if that sounds pretty vague, but that's my answer.
I like it. You put, there's a distinction between expectation and discipline, or expectation in a plan, or expectation in a direction. Because creativity without any of that, it's like trying to hold water with no container. Nothing's going to happen.
That's right.
There has to be this container. And there's just one thing I've learned as a writer and an artist and a musician. An autist.
Oh my god, I tried saying that without sounding so arrogant. Well, one thing I learned in all that realm of creativity is don't leave my head, come back to my head. The sentence is going to get finished. Oh, is that if I sit down in a session that I've allocated to sitting and creating something, like I've sat down and just, I put an hour to play guitar or an hour to sit and write, something like that. If I set the expectation that I need to accomplish something in that hour, that's the expectation that's going to stifle my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a paradox. Like there's the expectation that creativity needs a little bit of discipline. I need to simply sit there and like give it some time. Like Jenny, you were saying, prioritize that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, at the same exact time, dropping expectations for how that's actually going to blossom in the moment.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I think a discipline is a completely different thing than an expectation.
Yeah. And letting go of like that, I should be this amazing writer by now, or I should be able to like play these particular hard pieces on guitar by now. That's going to stifle the heck out of me. And I found, I mean, even in my yoga practice, I had the expectation that I should get handstand by now because I teach the thing. But about like a year ago, I gave up the expectation of what it looks like to achieve getting myself into a handstand. And I have a lot more fun trying to do a handstand now. And guess how many handstands I do? I do some. I do some.
I've seen you doing your handstand hops at Big at Home.
I have.
She's been hopping, people.
She's been hopping. Crashing and burning sometimes. But I can scream.
Yeah, I think disappointment is one of the biggest things that gets in our way. And when we get disappointed, as we do with expectations, when we don't meet expectations, when we get disappointed, everything around us becomes disappointing, including ourselves. So we can release that expectation of timing or timelines or shoulds. I mean, being disciplined means to be a disciple of yourself. And that's what creativity is to let all that good stuff that's in there come out.
Let it go. Right.
Jenny, you're very creative. You tell us.
She's been listening very, like, a good listener with a lot of reactions.
And also snaps for Nancy.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Nancy.
I'm drinking water. I forget that I'm being recorded.
We can't hear it. It's fine.
I'm not slurping too loud, people.
You're not.
It's hot. That was the idea.
Well, I'm going to answer this kind of like a yoga teacher. So expectations are... what I would say are all from the past, like your expectations of how you were yesterday or how you've been or how things have gone before. That's like where the realm that expectations get created in. It's like from the past based experiences. And what I know is that creativity begets creativity. So like if I am working or creation begets creativity. So if I I'm wanting to be creative, or I'm looking for that to be able to create something that I actually have to sit down to create. And it has to be with complete unattachment. So it's like expectation is from the past, creation and creativity happen in the present, like in this moment, with the possibility of something in the future. So when I feel stifled, or I feel like, oh, I don't know what to do, or I don't know what to create next, or whatever it is, I just need to do something. And so the way that I create can look like a lot of different things. And actually, like for a while at the beginning of our quarantine, I actually had a list of sacred practices that I was doing every day, and one of them was to create. And it wasn't like I have to create anything specifically, I just had to create. So like for me, what creation looks like, it creates that like allows me to tap into my creativity is like cooking. Like when you bring ingredients together and you make something out of like all of these things, you create it, right? If you create a dish or a flavor or whatever. Working in my garden, being outside, creating spaces in the dirt. Seeing how what I have done and the work that I put into my garden creates vegetables or spices or whatever it is that I'm growing. I'll just like get, I ordered myself watercolors and I like to watercolor. Like I just like to make things and they aren't for anybody. They're not for anybody to love or to hate. It's simply like the practice, like you were saying, the discipline of sitting down and making something. And in that, what I notice is like a door gets unlocked. And when I do it, there's this door that gets unlocked into a new world that allows me to then tap into something new for myself. That possibility.
Yeah. Can we snap for you?
Yeah, let's snap for you. Basically, it's all about the journey, not the end result.
Yeah. I will add on that sometimes in those segmented sections of time that I sit and like to play guitar or write, sometimes the result is and nothing I'm ever going to use and not like anything I'm going to put out into the world. It's just like not a beautiful creation and, you know, in so many words. And that is totally okay because it's about the repetition of the process, not the result. It's not, I don't sit down and write every time and I'm just like, everyone has to read this.
Well, yeah, that's such an essential part of creativity is allowing all the bad ideas to come out. All the bad whatever, music, food, whatever, with the good stuff.
Yeah.
It's an essential part of it. It's like gotta release expectation.
Yes. Yeah. Like when I practice handstands and I have gas. It's not gonna be a good handstand practice. But I do it because I'm at home. I got the space.
You fell on me the other day.
I fell on Maria the other day.
Quite literally.
I love practicing at home.
Are you okay, Maria?
I'm okay. I'm okay. It was very shocking.
We scream a lot. We scream loudly. Our neighbors are worried. Anyway. Well, thanks. That was a great... We have one more question left.
Last question.
One more. You may know this gal. Mm. She goes by the name of Lauren Pate.
Lauren!
Another patron
of the show.
And another great friend.
Yes. And residing in Colorado now. She was a Houston yogi for a bit. Now she's in Denver. We miss you. Okay, Lauren's question. What do you see your kids doing that you never did as a kid because of the lessons that you learned from yoga?
Oh.
Well, if you've got Jenny, if you have a funny answer.
That, and then you have that last part.
Okay.
Wait, ask it again.
Sure. What do you see your kids doing that you never did as a kid because of your lessons that you learned in yoga? Like you're a parent, you're a yogi parent. Do you know? So you've been raising
doing stuff that we never would have done.
Yeah, because your parents probably weren't yogis.
Oh, you mean like doing yoga?
Tree pose.
Well, I think her question, it points to their behaviors more so than just straight up yoga poses. But if your question is just yoga poses, I answer is
yoga poses. I don't know if I can answer that one specifically for that.
Well, I saw your face light up before I said you learned from yoga. And you started laughing. So how about...
I want to know what that was.
What do you see your kids doing just never did as a kid?
That I never did as a kid? Well, my parents were never like, don't put your penis on him. My parents never had to have that conversation with me. I didn't know I was going to have that conversation as a mom of boys. Be like, don't touch his penis. They're little.
I know. Yeah. Just, we're going to have girls.
Yeah, I was going to say, remind me not to have a boy.
That's actually a part of our life that is over for us.
It's not a bad thing. It's just like my parents never had to say that to me. Totally. I didn't have brothers.
Makes sense.
I'm not a boy.
Yeah. For anyone out there expecting a baby boy, listen to Jenny's words.
Yes.
You know, I was attempting to make this a TV-free household. And then my mom came to visit for a long time and she wanted to recreate my childhood. So now Emmy's addicted to Sesame Street.
But a Sesame Street is good.
Street. Aww. Yeah, she loves it. Loves it. Letter of the day. Clap, clap.
Do you like Sesame Street, Nancy?
Yeah, it's cute. I love it. Actually, they're so cute. I mean, Elmo is so cute. Cookie Monster. Yeah. I mean, I do like it. Yeah, it's good. And they have great guest stars on there.
Yeah, they do.
Big Quest Love and Zoe Deschanel in the same episode.
Wow.
About musicians. Mm.
I love Sesame. The Street's great.
The Street.
Street.
Real fans call it The Street.
That's right. The real ones know.
Well, I don't have kids, so I can't answer this question.
I don't feel like we answered Lauren's question.
Something about your yogi parents, has that influenced your kids to act differently?
Check back in 10 years, Lauren.
Yeah.
Yeah, ask that question, yeah.
We'll pin this question.
I think most very small children are kind of are of the same mold.
Yeah, adorable and spastic. They're also, like, pretty individual, too. So, like, you know, if I would have answered this question before I had Finn, I probably would have been like, oh, my gosh, Lincoln's, like, this perfect yoga child. He's, like, quiet and thoughtful and loving. And I was like, surely that's the result of all of the yoga that I've done.
And then.
And it might be. But then I also have Finn, who is also loving, but he's so different. Like, he's just a different little character who has a little bit more of an aggressive side to him, especially like being physically aggressive, that Lincoln never had. And so I don't know that that's because I didn't do enough yoga between having this, you know, like, I don't think it's like,
maybe he's more,
like, they're just different.
He's more of they're a, he's more people. Of a Gita fan than a Sutra fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's all about love and action.
That's funny.
You know, I guess we will learn that as parents that children have personalities.
Oh my they God. Do they ever?
They do. And they're not, and it's like, they're not your personality. Like, they may have similar things as you, but they're not you. Like, even the ones that come out of your body, they're not you. They're not your husband. They're not, or like your partner, whoever it is. Like,
each member of my nuclear family is very different from each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Mm-hmm. I guess humans are unique.
Wow.
I've really learned something today. Oh, man. Well, hey, that wraps up all the questions that we have for you from the patrons and the fans of the show. Thank you guys so much for writing in and taking some time to pose questions to Nancy and Jenny. These women are leaders and pioneers in their communities. And if you haven't taken one of their yoga classes, that's a way you can access these folks. You just go to bigpoweryoga.com. You get yourself a subscription to Big at Home, which is cheap, by the way.
V-cheap.
And then you can sign up for Jenny's class or Nancy's class or my class. Me and Maria just had a workshop there yesterday, which we hope in the next, like, 2 or 3 months to offer again, so you could access Maria in that way. But yeah, that's how you do it. If you are listening, just know that no matter where in the world you are, you can actually now go to Big Power Yoga. That's one of the silver linings of the freaking pandemic. Is we're online now, baby.
We're online,
and it's actually really good. I'm fully confident, and this is not a diss to any other yoga studio in the entire world. But I'm fully confident that we have just the best overall stuff in terms of content and in the way that we like sign people up. And I'm not biased in any way, shape, or form. That is just objective truth.
Capital T truth.
Yeah, actually, you know, I haven't even sampled really many other platforms, so I just know what we got's great. So come on down to bigpoweryoga.com. Mm-hmm.
It will be the second best decision you have ever made besides becoming a BYO Blanket patron.
True. Yes, mm-hmm. BYO Blanket patron. For those of you that have made it to the end of the show, thank you so much for listening. Nancy, Jenny, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, you guys, so much for having us. It was so much fun.
I'm glad we got to make this work. We have been finagling our schedules for a while to
finagling.
You know, get a nice chunk of time together. So thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you both. Thank you. That this is ending.
Thanks, you guys.
Please come back.
It's always a pleasure to be with the both of you.
Yeah, you guys are so, so awesome.
Let's complete this episode by going around and saying one word that you're present to. Hashtag TEP Fall 2020 Big Power Yoga. That's a teacher training program.
Is that your word?
No, that was my sponsored message to the just end of that sentence. Teacher training at Big. Okay. Yeah, one word. Who would like to go first?
I can do it.
I will.
Okay, go, Nancy.
Love.
Hashtag paradox.
Friendship.
I want to say more than one word.
Hyphenate them.
Yeah, just pretend they're hyphenated.
Yeah, what I do.
Okay.
Listeners, we just paused for like 10 minutes and all stared at each other, so I'm going to cut that part out. That's not good radio.
10 minutes. What I'm really present to is in like the creation that can happen in community when we simply get together and talk and share ideas.
That's a really good new word.
Community.
Go Planet. I love you guys. Thank you so much. And we're ending the episode now.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Janan.
Thanks, Maria. Let's say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening.
Blanket Ninjas.